7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 43 of Color of Magic. I am your host, Daquan Watson, and I've got my buddy here riding shotgun, Brian Allen. How are you doing this afternoon slash evening, buddy?
Welcome, everybody. We'll probably be, well, not even probably, unless something goes catastrophically wrong, we will be in a new house next time I talk to y'all. So we're doing good.
Not just a new house, you'll be recording from a new office.
That all of that is happening. You know?
That's a good upgrade, dude. That's a good come up.
I'm pretty excited.
I should have downloaded like some Jefferson's music.
Just for real.
that's an old reference, but I don't think Jefferson's have been on TV for like 25 years. So.
Oh no, you know they got the channels for old people, and I totally watch them because I love old sitcoms and, you know, TV shows.
All right. Well, people need to go look that up. Maybe if we ever do live magic events again and we get intro music, I'll use that.
And I think even enough rappers have used the reference to where people have probably at least heard of it, even if they're much younger than us.
That's true. It does get used in rap lyrics. Like, people make a lot of George Jefferson references. Yeah.
Tropic Thunder, you know?
Yeah, they did. They did.
This is a song. Don't mean it's not true.
Oh, also, we got to give thanks to another Patreon supporter. We got a new one this past week in Alex Schultz, or Schulte, maybe. Not sure the proper pronunciation, but we still appreciate you and love you just the same. So thanks for that. Also, if anybody would like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/colorofmagic. And we have a sponsor as well, cardsfair.com. It's a great place to go pick up cards. I think I've said it before. I've used them a few times. The service is easy. There's a very small learning curve as far as figuring out their site. But if you're looking for cards at a certain price, or you want to sell your stuff and not get lowballed or whatever, you can set that all in there at the price you want and then sell your stuff. The best part about it, though, really for me, in all seriousness, is that it does all the work to pair you up with the buyers looking to buy stuff at the price you're trying to sell it. And when you're looking for a card, it just says, okay, cool, here's people who have the cards at the price you're wanting to buy it at. Makes it super easy. Then you mail the cards, you give up a 1% transaction fee, and that's it. It's super duper nice. So go check those guys out. They are big supporters of our show, cardsphere.com.
Big supporters and just generally righteous people.
They really are. They really are. They support several content creators in Magic. I know, like Jenna Amari, which we've sent some people back and forth in raids on Twitch. They sponsor her as well. So definitely give them a look. They are trying to do good things and really supporting people trying to do up and coming stuff in the Magic community. Now, for the regular stuff here in the show.
Uh-oh.
Well, I think I have a good one here in the soapbox that people are going to appreciate quite a bit. So the crowd's really going to come for this one.
The crowd has returned.
Yeah, that's true. The crowd has returned. Trying to figure out the best way to preface it because I don't want to overstep my bounds here. But if you're responding to somebody on social media, or commenting in somebody's, let's say, Twitch chat, or maybe even just in a thread on Facebook, if somebody isn't using a different, like, honestly, here's the easiest way to put it. We should probably not be using a name for someone other than the name they are posting publicly. For multiple reasons, right? Like, one, some people might have some other issues that they don't want certain people finding them. And I don't mean even like legal. They might have relationship issues, things with their job or whatever, and they don't want people to know their actual name for that account. They might be transgender and don't want their other name spoken anymore. Hell, honestly, somebody might be using their family nickname as a password answer or whatever. Like, there's no reason. Like, and I get it. Some people do it to be like, hey, I've known you for a while. Or, hey, I'm in the cool kids club because I know your actual name.
Before you were famous.
Yeah, exactly. I've known you before you were famous, right? Like, that's a thing. But they're using another name for a purpose. Especially, say, on something like Twitter, where you can change your name every month or whatever if you wanted to.
And like, I did for quite a while.
Yeah, they're choosing to have a certain name public. So use it.
Like, don't call Batman Bruce.
Mm. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. There's nothing to gain from it. Now, if you see the other person use their name, or you see two or three people reference it and they don't say anything or don't reprimand anybody and the comments don't get changed or deleted, then it's probably okay. Like, we've set a precedent that this is a thing. But otherwise, why do that? Like, some of it could be branding. Like, because on some things, I particularly like to just use Power Dragon for stuff. Yes, people know my actual nickname or know my actual name, and that's fine. Not a big deal. Like, if people use it, I'm not going to be upset about it. I just tell people it's easier so when I'm clipping things or trying to use stuff in the future for, like, a video or whatever and putting stuff together, if they just use Power Dragon, it makes editing a lot cleaner and easier. But I don't care as much. It's not like it's going to... Like, when I do... excuse me. Like, Wizards coverage, they just use my actual name. So that's fine. Like, people know what my name is. But there's other people that... We've talked about it before, I think, even on the show, where some people don't use their traditional family name or government name, right? They go by their nickname publicly.
Yeah.
So
that's probably the overwhelming majority of streamers and content creators use some name, especially in the gaming space, use some name other than their birth name.
Yeah. And I get it. Some people don't want to be doxxed. They don't want to be tracked down. They don't want to be harassed, like, whatever. Don't use their other names. There's just no reason. Like, we've literally listed, I think, already, like, 6-7 good reasons just not to do it. Like, let's just not do it. Let's make a habit of just using whatever name the person puts publicly. And honestly, unless their name is, like, 25 characters long, it's not that big a deal to even type it. Like, it's a thing that, honestly, if nothing else, you are being friendly and courteous to the other person by using the name they've chosen to make public. And this is even about online celebrities. Like, you know, trying to use ourselves as an example or whatever, but, like, we're making ourselves public.
Yeah.
So we kind of know the game a little bit.
We
know
just introduced ourselves by our full names. It's a little different.
Yeah. Totally, totally different. But when you're just talking to somebody in a Facebook group, or, like I said, somebody you just started following on Twitch, and I guess you found out their name for some reason or whatever, like, there's no need. There's literally no need. It's something I've seen coming up a bit lately. I've seen it come up in a couple of people's chats, and I can even tell where it made some people slightly uncomfortable, but they didn't want to say anything and be that person. It's like, just don't put people in those spots. Don't put them in that position where they have to be that person. Just let it go. What you think you're going to gain from it, you are not going to gain in most cases. All right, Brian, let's move along.
All right.
What did you learn last week?
We had another "it's just a joke" moment, and this is a pretty public one. I'm sure you probably saw the Magic Esports with the whole "we are not the same" because you're complaining about timber regulation and I'm crushing it with Mono Black Arena or whatever.
Yeah, I did.
And I feel like, you know, but part of me is like, I almost want to do a weekly segment because every week somebody seems like they make a joke or they get in trouble. But all of them, I think, are basically the same thing. Where, like, the problem is, usually the problem with the joke is somebody was punching downward. This is another case of, you know, these are professional Magic players, and I think people felt like, you're punching down on everybody who has complained about this deck, which at this point is almost everybody.
Yeah, in some regards, yeah.
Because, I mean, if you're a pro Magic player, any joke you make about Magic, you're punching down, or because both of us are not professionals. So I think that's why that one really did not land the way, because I'm not saying that pro Magic players can't make jokes about things. It's just, that's something you got to keep in mind as to why, you know, the joke may or may not land.
I think it's part of a bigger issue too. I think when it comes to especially social marketing, it is very hard to get the traction and the responses and the retweets and the likes or whatever with a positive post than it is with a negative one.
Yeah.
Or even just a snarky one. It doesn't even have to be negative. So, and don't get me wrong, I'd much rather it be the other way, like, obviously. But I think we in some ways do some of this to ourselves, because somebody will post something like that, and then immediately everybody wants to comment on it and retweet it or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Instead of saying, like, all right, that's dumb, just ignore it. Like, we don't, though. We don't. When, if there's something positive, if we were taking the time to share that more often, people would be more inclined to do that.
Definitely. Yeah.
It's like we talked about on I think, I guess about 5 or 6 episodes ago, when we talked about how people that are negative on YouTube tend to get more viewers than the people that are positive. At least in the gaming spaces. And there,
I mean, that's probably not just in gaming. If you look across the board at, you know, who, somebody that's worked for, you know, news outlets that say, hey, this is going to be a section where we just print positive news. And every one of those I've worked for has gone belly up, because at the end of the day, while people say they want to see the fun stuff and the human interest, what they really want to see are the obits and, you know, and chaos. The crime news has never been canceled.
You're right. I mean, it takes exceptional things, I think, to create positive traction. Like you, like we talked about for like Mr. Beast, right?
Yeah.
Who's whatever, 30 million subscribers now, whatever, on YouTube. And every video gets like 10 million views. But it takes something of that level to start inspiring other people to do positive things.
You got to be giving away $100,000 to get people's attention.
Yeah, like it's crazy, right? Or the like I told you, the Dad How Do I channel.
Yeah.
That's another one. But like, it takes this heartfelt, over the top, big story to make people go like, oh yeah, that I can relate to that. Maybe that is a thing, you know? So we just have to make that
individual doing it. If a corporation gives somebody $100,000, nobody blinks, because they think, like, you're a corporation, you're supposed to do that.
That's fair. You're not wrong. So the interesting thing I ran into this week, and I shared this on Twitter for anybody who follows me, but I'm mentioning this because it's come up a couple of times recently, and it was surprising that it was still going on today, even on Twitter, but people still don't realize segregation was not that long ago. I mean, the fact that literally many of our grandparents could not have sat together if they went out to eat to a local diner. Like, we have people who are still walking this earth that lived through that. That was not that long ago.
And there are still people that did it in favor of it. On my own timeline, I see it.
Well, that's also true.
Somebody, you know, that was on my social media, I saw them complaining about a show that we both watch, and, you know, we're talking about, hey, we hate this plot or we hate this storyline. What's your problem? I won't say their name. Well, there's just too many interracial couples on this show. And we're like, what the? Huh?
Really?
That's your issue?
I could only, like, oh man, I'm so glad I didn't see that. You're gonna have to tell me.
No way out of that conversation at that point, where you just can't. You can't. I'm not a racist, but that, you know, it's just.
Oh, dude, you're gonna have to tell me after we turn off the audio, like, you, because I didn't see that one. Like, oh man, I would have given somebody the business on that one. Like, because here's the thing, like, how do you even go when person's like, well, you know, this plot's kind of whatever, whatever. Yeah. Like, I don't appreciate, like, the setting and the costumes, And they're like, yeah, they got too many damn interracial couples. And it's like, what? That's.
I won't even, as I said, I'm not going to name the person. I'll name the show. It's General Hospital. Out of all the ridiculous plots you could have picked out.
Gosh, damn, that show? Really?
Yeah, I mean, this is a show where every week a baby's getting kidnapped, where, you know.
Wasn't that the one that had, like, the weird twin brothers or something?
Oh, every soap opera has that. General Hospital, even among soap operas, they've had an alien on there at one point.
Yeah, that's nuts. Like, that's
one time the main villain froze the entire city of Port Charles. I mean, if you wanted to pick out crazy plots.
But you know what? I do remember, this is like maybe 5 years ago, when they had the Super Bowl commercial with the Cheerios commercial with the interracial couple, and the little black girl goes over to the dad, and, you know, she pours all the Cheerios on his heart because her mom tells her Cheerios are heart healthy or something or whatever.
A touching, like, sweet commercial.
Yeah, I thought, okay, that's cute. That's pretty funny, right?
It, like, made everybody's list of, you know, just the most, the cutest, most heartstring pulling commercials.
Yeah, but when I was watching sites where people were voting on Super Bowl commercials, where, like, people were downing that because of the interracial couple. And I'm like, really? That was your takeaway from that commercial? Mm-hmm. Like, this this nice family unit in a nice house, and a little girl wanting to make her dad live longer, and, like, Cheerios having their meds, like, all that. And you took away, like, well, yeah, but it was an interracial couple. Like, this is the thing, though. Like, when it comes back to what I was saying, like, this was not that long ago. Like, the things that allowed that to be in place for so long, and the processes and the laws and whatever, like, the people that supported those and the people who benefited from those are still alive today. Mm-hmm. Like, so just to think it just went away, like, that's not a thing. You know, when people say, oh, well, racism doesn't exist, or, like, segregation's over or whatever, like, that didn't solve everything.
Because we talked about the home buying journey, I looked at somebody else, you know, talking about their home buying experience, and their banker was like, oh, well, can't you just get somebody in your family to loan you $50,000, and it's a black person, they're looking at it like, no. But I won't say most, but a lot of their white clientele, when they need the down payment, somebody just loans them $50,000 or $60,000. Not even loans, just, hey, here you go.
Because
go buy yourself a house, you crazy kid.
And that's the difference, because the older generations, even if it's not cash, have the assets.
Yeah.
You know, that's the difference. Whereas a lot of the older generation, again, older generations of black people, you know, didn't have the same job opportunities, weren't able to get loans, weren't able to buy houses, weren't, you know, all these things, right, that we are fortunately able to do now, you know, but the ability to achieve that has been harder because we haven't been able to turn to family or relatives or whatever that can help assist us along that process. And it's tough. And then this is kind of a little bit off the point we're talking about, but it's tougher because it's not because of your failure of want. It's not because of your failure of effort. You know, it's strictly because you just don't have the resources. Like, your family lineage does not have those assets. Now, the goal would be, you know, like in your case, you're moving into this other house. You already have money to put toward it because your previous house, which made it easier to upgrade because you were able to get into a market when it was cheaper. Now it's gone up. You made more money on your house. Great. And hopefully you live in this house, pay it off, and eventually that's an asset for your family and your kids in the future.
Yeah, that's the plan.
You know, but other families have already gone through that. Like, you know, there are more white families that, now granted, again, I'm not saying all, because I do know I have white friends too that have struggled, and, you know, some of them lived in trailer parks and all that, right? I get it. But there are proportionately more white families that have had that opportunity. And I think that's a thing that goes missed sometimes when people say, like, oh, well, but you're able to do this. And it's like, no, we're not able to do that. Like, I think I told you before on the show, like, I was part of a class action lawsuit 2 years ago because a bank charged blacks and Hispanics more money.
Yeah.
Like, and we got a higher interest rate on loans for the same amount when we wanted to go buy a car, you know, when ran the background check and all that, we paid a higher percentage. Like, that stuff still happens today.
I saw the other day on the news, you know, that for farmers, a white farmer, if they apply for a loan, the waiting period is around 30, 32 days. Black farmers, it's a year or more for the same loan.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, and it's tough because I don't think people are aware that these are things. Like I told somebody, like a friend of mine here locally, I told him about that whole thing with the class action lawsuit. They're like, well, there must have been more to that than that. I'm like, no, literally, that was the reason that there was a class action lawsuit. Like, there's nothing. I said, even if there was other stuff, like, why is that even a thing? Like, that shouldn't even have been in there, right? It's just like, literally, well, we're just going to charge these people an extra, like, half to three quarters of a percent just because of their background.
In this era, you got to know that at some point that's going to catch up with you.
And here's the thing. Like, you're talking about at the time, I had a decent credit rating. I'd owned my business for 12 or 13 years at that point.
Which is a lifetime, you know, in business.
Yeah. Like, I even had side gigs that were bringing in some extra money. You know, like, we didn't have any other major payments. So it wasn't like I had all this debt built up and everything else. Like, and I still got charged more. So it even like when people are saying like, well, you need to work on your credit rating, or, oh, if you had this for a down payment, or if you had this, hell, I even had a down payment because I had either 6K or 9K from the previous car accident, because my other vehicle got totaled and I was putting that toward the new car. So I even had like a quarter of the payment already covered. More than that, almost 30% actually just paid. So like that wasn't even a thing. And I still got charged more. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. Yeah. Like, that's a thing that shouldn't even be a thing, but it is. And I was trying to, I can't remember who it was recently, but I was trying to explain to someone, like, the problem is that the system allows that to happen.
Yeah.
Like, the penalty for that, if you really want to penalize them, one of two things. Either one, they just get a giant ass fine. And, you know, whatever, goes to charity or whatever. Or you pay whatever you charge the people, honestly, plus whatever interest you charge them over, and pay them that money. But honestly, that ended up costing me, if I did the math right, it was a few hundred dollars. I want to say it was like another $600 or $800 maybe when it was all said and done. And I think my payout was something like right around $200. So they made more anyway, risking the penalty, than they did going through the lawsuit and paying everybody out. Even if you include lawyer's fees and everything else. So it's like, why not gamble? Because I mean, if I'm in their shoes and you know you can get away with it, and you're like, well, if we get penalized, we're still going to come out, whatever, probably like 25% to the good. And we just take a small PR hit for like 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're talking about on a scale they are, that could be, well, hundreds of millions, if not more. Yeah. So, yeah, of course you do it. That's why they get to do it, because they can get away with it.
A lot of them do the same thing with, you know, environmental fines and other such, you know, government regulations.
Yeah, because the amount you stand to make is greater than what you're going to be penalized. And we compare that to a citizen. You know, when you just go get a speeding ticket, that might be $200.
Yeah.
Or run a red light or a stop sign.
And those court cases are always in the middle of the day. So in the event you have a case and want to fight it, you got to take a day off work. And for most people, it's not worth it at that point.
Yep.
It's just easier to pay the fine.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, so there's a lot of issues there. But anyway, I know we got on a rant, but I think that was good material, so I'm going to leave it in the show.
That was an important rant.
Yeah. But the thing is, like I said, there are an increasingly large number of people that one of two things, either just assume segregation solved everything, so all the rest of the stuff is made up, or just talk about segregation like it was last century. And it's just amazing to me. I guess it's not amazing, but it still surprises me to a point, I guess. But anyway, let's talk about some more fun stuff.
Definitely.
Last weekend, we had the arena open in the historic format. And we both actually played.
You played loosely, but I did play.
So what was your experience like, dude? Since, because you didn't play in the last one, right?
Did
you?
No, I had family stuff that I didn't get to play. I wanted to, but we didn't get to. Had to be out of town.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I got to say, this is probably the first any kind of really competitive event I've been in 6 or 7 years. So.
Okay.
I was kind of like Captain Freedom coming out of retirement for one last matchup. I actually had a lot of fun. So I got kicked in the face, and I think you're probably supposed to if you've laid off of competitive stuff for almost a decade. But my games were close. I wasn't getting, you know, curb stomped in any of them.
That's good.
All the games were competitive. I think I went 1-3. Didn't buy back in because I felt like, you know what, that's enough for right now.
So what was, like, your motivation for playing? Because you're saying, you know, you haven't played in forever. So just to kind of like get in your side of your head a little bit, like what was your motivation? What may cause you to pull the trigger and say like, hey, I'm going to try this event.
I think as much as anything, I figured like if nothing else, I'd have some content. I guess that's probably a common motivation for people that talk about Magic and other games.
Okay. That's real.
I figure like even if I go 0-4, I've got something interesting to talk about this week.
That's fair. I mean, that's legit. Yeah, I think it's interesting, you know, because as much as people complain about the format being, you know, best of one, day one, then best of three or whatever, I think it's fine. I think it leads to a lot of people who otherwise may not have a 3-hour window or 4-hour window just going for it. And it's 20,000 gold, right? You can earn gold and it's free. So a bunch of people played for free. So why not? I mean, just take a shot. If you make day two, great. If you don't, great. You're not really out anything but the, you know, 45 minutes or so to an hour it take you to knock out all those games. And I think it's fine. I also played and did not do well. I think I was I 3-3 or 2-3, something like that. But I didn't do well. I was mostly competitive except for, like, there was one game that was an absolute blowout. I just got run over, but I'm not a huge fan of historic right now. I was thinking, I told somebody on stream the other day that if I had my way, I think it would make a 10 or 12 card list of stuff I would ban in historic, which nobody wants me to make that list.
Oh, I feel like we do. I feel like it's going to be content of some sort in the future.
Maybe. I mean, if I just need some cheap views on YouTube, I'll just be like, here's all the cards I would ban in historic, and then let's let people yell at me in the comments. But,
one of them a goblin by any chance?
One of them is a goblin, but it is not the goblin people think.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think people would say they want to get rid of Muxus, the new goblin. But the reality is, I would get rid of Skirk Prospector. That is a goblin you can sacrifice. Yeah, you can sacrifice other goblins to get red mana.
And it's not hard to make more goblins.
Yeah. Well, the problem is, if you have a prospector out, once you sacrifice a bunch of other things, and you're like, okay, well, now I'll play Muxus. Muxus gets usually at least 2 or 3 things off the top of the library. If one of them's a thing that makes an additional token, or it's like Krenko with one of the other ones that has haste, you're like, okay, well, now I have like 5 dudes. I can sack these 5 things, cast another thing. Maybe it's a Conspicuous Snoop. Well, Snoop lets me copy abilities on top of my library, so now there's other stuff to trigger. You know what I mean? Like, it all starts and gets to keep going because you have the Skirk Prospector.
Yeah.
If you don't have that, then, like, a Muxus on turn 4, turn 5, like, you can generally deal with that if you're playing certain decks, right? You can counter it. You can kill the things that give haste or whatever. You can do a couple different things. But when they're playing that on, like, turn 3... and just ending the game, like, you can't do anything with some of these decks. Especially if you were on the draw. Like, in some games, you're like, okay, I play a land, my second land came into play tapped, and oh, look, I'm dead.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I wish I'd crafted it before I played in the open. It's degenerate.
Yeah.
I don't even have 4 of everything yet. And it's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it's one of many things. I would I would cut in the format. Now, that being said, I still don't have a problem with the event. I think it's great that Wizards at least tried different formats. But one thing that did come out of this, I think when we looked at the results, I want to say there were, man, I'm going to miscount this number because it was much smaller than I thought. It was like maybe 50-ish decks that made 7 wins on day 2. And when it, I guess 2 months ago, whenever it was standard, it was, there were 127, I think, that made 7 wins. So that means more people, either one of two things, either more people compete. Well, you know, it had to be that. But as I say, more people competed in the second, in the first event. Standard drew way more. And I don't know if that means just more people pushed to qualify for day 2 or whatever, but there was more engagement with standard over historic by a long shot. Now, I don't know if that speaks to standard still being more accessible because of new accounts, not having some of the older cards and being able to play stuff in historic. If people just like standard more than historic, maybe there's more information. So people felt better making standard decks. Who knows? And maybe it's a combination of all of that. But I just found that to be an interesting tidbit of information when I looked at it and went, even though there was a lot of chatter, if you look through like Magic Twitter, all the regulars were posting a lot about it.
Yeah.
But maybe this speaks more to what I keep trying to tell people is the casual players make up a much larger base than the vocal competitive players. So maybe there are a lot of them that do actually enjoy standard, I guess, since it's still cheap and free if you choose for it to be in Arena. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like in standard, I have, especially in the current standard, I had a good idea of which decks I was going to see if I were to play in a standard tournament. Historic, and I'm somebody that's been playing since, I want to say 2010 or something. There were cards I was seeing in almost every game where I've never seen this card before. What does this do?
Yeah, but maybe that's part of it, right? When somebody's not heavily engaged, maybe they don't enjoy historic as much. I don't know, it's interesting. I mean, there's numbers we'll never see, obviously, because those are behind the scenes and whatever, but it's an interesting thing to think about. I don't, and again, I'm not even going to speculate on what it actually means, because I'm sure there's a bunch of things that contribute to that. I mean, for all I know, maybe it's a bunch of people just fired their one bullet and they were done. And like, I don't know. Who knows? But there was other news after that happened.
Boy.
And all that came around. I woke up Monday. I look at my phone. I see that Magic Twitter is real happy. I'm like, huh. And then I saw some news. And then I said, huh. And it turns out that Banhammer was so slow in coming because apparently it was really, really heavy.
Yeah.
So yeah, a bunch of cards got banned.
So they put the hammer down.
Yeah, they did. They did. So there was a lot of action that went down. And it's one, it was met with positivity. You know, I think that in and of itself was a good sign, kind of told you like, hey, this is something we needed to do. I think it was also good that it was a surprise. You know, they'd been announcing the announcements, as people like to joke around about.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's a tough thing because I like the idea of like, hey, telling people, hey, on Monday, we're going to make an announcement, blah, blah, so people don't go buy cards or whatever for like a week. But on the other hand, in this case, it was mostly cards that are going to be gone in 3 months, or well, at this point, 6 weeks anyway. So you kind of knew, you know, you probably shouldn't be buying those anyway. So in this case, I don't think there was a big problem in not having a set date or anything. I think it was fine. And, you know, they put out the rationale that like, hey, you know, in some cases, 60-70% of some of these fields were reclamation decks. You know, Teferi was showing up in this percentage of decks. Yeah, so even if there were things to combat those, they were still creating unhealthy environments. So I think it was fine.
We've talked a lot about how Teferi just doesn't even feel like you're playing Magic anymore.
That's true. But yeah, so I saw you put a video out. I didn't get to watch the video yet, but obviously I put mine. I literally, no lie, like I said, I opened my phone. I looked at Twitter real quick. I went and looked at the announcement. I literally got up, brushed my hair, threw on a shirt and pants because, you know, don't want to stand up in front of a camera with no pants by accident. And went and recorded the video and threw it up on YouTube. So everybody got like my first honest reaction. And people surprisingly responded to the video very well, which I didn't think was going to be a thing. But, you know, COVID times have people acting weird, I guess. But what was your takeaway?
We know it. They need their Power Dragon fix.
I guess. No, but seriously, what was your takeaway from this?
Like you said, these were cards that obviously these needed to happen. And because they don't do this, you know, 6 or 7 weeks out under ordinary circumstances. They mentioned that this is because the format was really, really stale. These cards were making the game unfun for a lot of people. We've talked about Teferi on the podcast on multiple occasions. Reclamation and Growth Spiral. You've talked about Growth Spiral also as a card that needed to have something done to it for a while.
You know, I also want to say there were a lot of people, and I've seen people coming in my chat kind of wondering this too, why the Cauldron Familiar ended up on the list. Because in their head, they're like, well, Jund Sacrifice wasn't even that big a deal. But the reality is that was a preemptive banning.
Yeah.
That if Reclamation didn't exist, if Teferi doesn't exist, and therefore maybe some of these like Bant, Ramp, whatever decks or whatever don't exist with Wilderness Reclamation gone too, do the sacrifice list, whether that be John, Rakdos, Mono Black, whatever, like do those become the premier decks in the format? And if so, how much unfun would that be? If, like, you thought it was boring playing against Reclamation. Like, if you were going into an event and 60, 70% of the, or hell, just playing through ladder, if 50% or more of the decks you played against were Jund Sacrifice, like, that would be miserable.
I was going to ask you, do you remember another time where they've not only banned whatever, you know, the big problem deck was, but went ahead and just banned basically the what they think is going to be the next deck?
Yeah, that's happened before, actually. I want to say a while, man, all the way back in like Urza Block when they banned a bunch of stuff back then. I want to say they did it. And I feel like they also did it with, oh man, back when Arcbound Ravager was big. God, when was this? This would have been like early 2000s. That they ended up banning. But all the, like, the artifact lands and I think the one black creature, whenever, like, an artifact went to the graveyard or something, you lost a life or whatever, just to keep that from being a thing. Like, just say, we get rid of all the artifact lands in addition to a couple other things that were problematic at the time. Maybe, I don't know what's Tooth and Nail, maybe, at the same time. I think that, I don't know, I feel like there was another card during that time. I could be wrong. Feel free to correct me, listeners. Shoot us a message on the Discord. It was a long time ago. I've slept many times since then.
I figured because I knew that I'm you know, still a relative babe in the woods and in Magic in a lot of terms, but I knew I didn't remember anything quite like that.
Yeah, it's definitely happened before, you know, and I kind of get why they do it, you know. But I will say this: the thing that's interesting is that I do remember thinking about the time, and the reason I said Arcbound Ravager decks is because that was the boogeyman that the average player saw. Even though it was all about the artifact lands and the cards around it and whatever, allowing it to sacrifice a bunch of things and hit their opponent for a bunch or whatever, they saw the Arcbound Ravager as the problem card. And I think the mistake WotC made back then was not banning Arcbound Ravager. Because I think what you said this earlier, and I meant to comment on it, but when people view things as scary or not fun or whatever, even if the environment becomes balanced, they don't want to participate in it if those things that are the boogeyman still exist. And I remember seeing that people are like, well, yeah, but they didn't ban the right card. And then even though, because again, to the average player, they don't go that deep into the strategy or that deep into the knowledge or whatever. They just see what they see are positives and they see what they see are negatives. in their interactions with people not at their kitchen table. And I think that's one of the things that made people so happy with this one, is that, great, like, Teferi's gone, Reclamation's gone, Sacrifice took a hit, you know, whatever. Like, so the things that people didn't like, immediately the token cards took the hit. And I think that usually makes people happy.
Certainly, now, all the feedback I've gotten is that people are ecstatic about this. Of course, unless invested heavily in those cards, you know. Unless you invested heavily in those cards. Everybody else seemed to be happy.
Okay, that's fair. But I still have to convince people that Wilderness Reclamation was right to have on the list. I still have people that are still arguing against it. Because again, it's that thing where it doesn't look like the problem. They just see the end result of what the Wilderness Reclamation was able to achieve you. You know, so they don't look at that as being a problem card. They just go like, oh, whatever. But Uro's still around and Nissa's still around and whatever. Right. But no, it's like those are only, I mean, they're good cards. Don't get me wrong. They are still very strong and potentially problematic, but they are actually worse because Wilderness Reclamation, Growth Spiral existed. Like, that's the problem. So getting rid of that was totally the right answer, I think. And so far, I will say, you know, granted, we're recording this as of like day three. Post bannings, but there's a lot of variety of decks. I mean, there's one or two decks you expect it to be played a little more that you're seeing a little bit, but for the most part, people are at least trying. They're trying all the new cards from M21 they haven't played with to this point. They're busting out some of their favorite decks from the last season that have basically been crushed and put away by these other decks. So now, how long that lasts, I don't know. Could be talking a different tune a week from now, but at least for the first few days, it's been interesting. Hell, I've even seen more engagement on YouTube with people coming out. I guess there's more people just looking for decks and looking for ideas. Like, people are invigorated to play more Magic right now. So that's a good thing all the way around.
Absolutely.
And here's another thing I wanted to touch on, because, you know, we do like touching on other games and other situations. But did you see that Discord partnerships got an update?
I saw something about that somewhere, but I didn't click on it and get all the details.
All right. Well, my first thing was, I didn't even know you could be a Discord partner.
The only reason I know is because I think what Dr. Disrespect lost his, in addition to all his other partnerships. That's when I learned about being Discord having partnerships.
Yeah, I don't know how I didn't know this was a thing, but I didn't know it was a thing. But I guess because they've updated it, people were upset on Twitter this week, or on social media in general. I can't just Twitter, because I saw some people post about it on Facebook too. But I'm not really sure what they were mad at. It was kind of, because I guess the way it reads to me when I read over the agreement, because once I discovered it was a thing, I was like, well, let's go check it out, see what it's all about, right? Apparently, they're basically just setting minimum metrics. So you have to have at least 500 members on your server. You have to have what they call at least 50 communicators within whatever their per week, I think it is. So you have to have people who at least are chatting. Yeah. Not just like, hey, I'm going to follow your Discord so I get information and updates. Like, you need to have active people. You have to have at least, I believe the other number was like 100. What's the term they used? I think something that like 100 people for participation, like that are at least actively coming and viewing your channel in a week. So like people are actively clicking on your channel to look at some information. And then you have to have at least 20% retention over like a 2-month period. So people who come and hang around or talk, like, are they staying in your channel? Like, they didn't just show up for like a week for a promotion because you did a giveaway
or something.
Yeah, exactly. Then just hang out and then leave. So I don't see anything wrong with that. Now, granted, I'd have to go look at the details, because I just wanted to see what the update was that people were getting upset about. But this is one that I'm kind of like, this seems normal.
And what are the benefits of Discord partner?
Yeah, I don't even know. I'd really have to research that. Like, I didn't even, literally, I was more surprised to just find out it was a thing. So my other thing was just like, okay, well, what are they asking people to do? And really, to me, I'm like, okay, getting 500 members, that's a thing, but that's a reasonable achievement line, right?
Yeah.
And then the other is like, okay, of those 500, 10% have to say something in a chat in the course of a week. And I'm like, okay, that doesn't seem unreal.
Bump. You said something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's it, right? And then to get 100 people actively participating, like, that seems like that should happen.
Yeah.
But if not, here's the other thing. As a creator, that means you have a bunch of people not really engaging with you anyway. You know what I mean? If
I'm not even sure it means that, because doesn't everybody have the, because it's hard to be on all the social medias, and they're creating another one like almost every other month. Some people, sure, I think, prefer other, some people prefer Twitter, some people prefer Discord, et cetera.
Yeah, but I mean, I go through and sadly regularly delete Discord channels because everybody wants to use Discord. So everybody, like if I'm on a project, we use Discord. And then when it's done, I wait a week to make sure nobody needs anything else or there's nothing new popping up, and then I just remove it. And even now, if I go count, I probably still have, like, I don't know, probably some insane number. Probably on like,
yeah, me too, because every video game has one.
Yeah, I'm on like 15 or 20 different Discord channels still, even with all the deleting.
Every streamer has one, so yeah, I shudder to think how many I'm in.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. I will say this. Like, if you were getting by on whatever the Discord benefits were, then I'm sure this is a drawback, right? But
is this a situation where people are going to lose partner if they haven't met these methods?
I feel like there was like a some type of grace period. Like, because, like, hey, here are the new things. You have a few weeks or whatever to get yourself together, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it was just weird. I was just like, I don't understand, like, why. I mean, people were mad.
I can be pretty mad if you've already achieved partner and now you're at risk of losing it. That would make me upset.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think if you built your income or business around the old achievements and whatever rewards there were, that I get, because you're like, okay, now I'm being disrupted and uprooted or whatever, and I base my whole thing around this.
Yeah, I feel like people should be grandfathered in if they made partner under the old, whatever the old requirements were.
Now, yeah, that's a good idea that I could get behind, just saying, like, or even giving you a longer grace period, right?
I want to like, say that's how Twitch did it, but don't quote me. I'm not 100% positive that's where they do it, because they changed partner a while back also.
Yeah, I could get around that, though. Like, if you were saying, all right, here's a thing, here's going to be the new requirements. Some of y'all have had, like, your whole networks in place or whatever for, I don't know, maybe years. I have no long idea how long this program's been in place. But we're going to extend it and give you 6 months. Or whatever, you know, as opposed to maybe 1 month or whatever it is. Like, that feels like that would be fair. You know, like, if you have 6 months to make adjustments or get enough new faces in your channel or whatever it is. And then if not, then I'm not sure, you know, so maybe I'll do a follow up and just see what the benefits are for Twitch. Because I mean, there's stuff that, like, I know you get, like, you know, a personalized server, and, you know, you get some badges you can give people, but I don't know what the actual, like, monetary reward is to have people that upset. Cause, like, you know, even the people coming from Mixer, at least, I mean, I understood, like, there's ways you can make money on Mixer, right? Like, same thing on Twitch or even on YouTube or whatever. Like, I get it. I'm not sure. Honestly, I'm not even sure how many people are aware that there were partnerships on Discord.
Yeah, I know I wasn't, and like you said, we're probably in God knows how many Discords between the two of us.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just found it interesting. So maybe that's something we can follow up on in the future. Event updates. So there's two quick things I want to tell everybody about. The Backsplash event that we've been talking about that's going to feature 8 people of color as your competitors, and it's going to be in all... Actually, it might be an all-black broadcast and production team. I say that with a question mark. They're all people of color, but they might be all black, actually. But that event is going to be broadcast on Twitch on August 29th at noon Eastern. So we now have a date and time that people can look out for. And next week, I have spoken with the creator slash promoter of that event, and we're going to have them here on the channel. So you can definitely awesome. Channel on the show. See where my head is.
Talk about a lot of social medias.
I know. We were just talking about Discord. But here on the show next week. So that's when you can tune in for. And we're probably going to spend a big chunk of the show talking about the event. And then Command Fest. There's going to be doing another one online since the other one over so well. They're going to do August 22nd and 23rd. And they've asked me to participate on August 23rd. So the morning of Sunday, August the 23rd, I will be playing online with some other people I don't know yet. So come say hi and watch me get my face smashed, because I've played not a ton of Commander, but I do have a Commander deck that I like. So if you want to see who it is, come hang out. And then, finally, we need to set the table for one last good conversation that I don't want to spend too much time on, but I do think it's an important conversation to have. So for people that don't know, I think she is actually the top performing female on Twitch. Woman, I should say. Sorry. She goes by Pokimane. Pokimane. And I've checked in to see her stuff. Like, she actually is pretty engaging, to be honest. And apparently another, I believe they are another Twitch personality. I can't remember the person's name. I should have wrote it down in my notes here. But they went on and posted that apparently Pokimane has a boyfriend, but is choosing not to tell anybody about it so she can take advantage of her viewers. Now, my understanding is he's basing this on some assumption and may or may not have seen her out with a dude. Now, one, the problem I have with that is, like, the dude could be anybody, right? Could be a friend, could be another Twitch streamer just gonna collab with, could be an actual dude they were out on a date with or something. Like, I don't know, right? Could be anything. Maybe they just intercepted a message somehow that she left to somebody or was flirting with someone. I don't know. But my problem is that people are giving her crap about this. Like, what business is it of mine or yours or anybody else's who she's seeing or sleeping with? That is such a weird thing to demand of somebody. Like, I mean, a rare case is maybe if she was like a relationship coach or some type of love counselor or something, you know what I mean? Then that might matter. But beyond that, like, why does something like this in the private life of a content creator matter? And why are we dragging her through the mud over it? I mean, I don't get it. I mean, I don't know. What's your take on this thing, man?
Apparently this YouTuber is kind of a trolling is, I guess, kind of his gimmick. And this is another example of it. And now, unfortunately, from an entertainment standpoint, there are documented cases. I mean, not just over Twitch. Like, I remember hearing a story once about a wrestler announcing, you know, he wasn't at the show because his wife gave birth to their first child, and people just going, oh, and the next week there weren't any women in the crowd. So yeah, there are people out there that develop these internet crushes on celebrities, and we could go into a whole different conversation about that. So that is a thing, but still, it's bizarre.
It is.
And yeah, like you said, we shouldn't, it's none of our business, you know, who she's dating.
But, you know, we both talked about this. Like, you know, our significant others aren't necessarily wanting to engage with our content in certain ways. So, like, it's not weird that especially, let's be fair, on her level, like, she is, if I'm not mistaken, she is the top performing woman on Twitch.
Yeah, and it's not close.
I mean, you're talking about hundreds of thousands.
I believe she is the only one in the top 50.
I mean, that's saying something. So, like, if you are involved with her for any reason, like, you would have to know that, like, hey, am I okay being in front of all these people or not, or being mentioned, or people talking about me or whatever, or not? And that's something between her and her partner, or significant other, whatever her situation is, right? If they don't want to talk about it, then that should be fine. Like, you and your wife, y'all share it. Y'all have a family YouTube channel. So, like, y'all put business out there, and that's cool.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Like, my wife, like, she will only be on under very specific conditions. Like, she has to have a very nice, comfortable, like, certain lighting, whatever. Like, doesn't want to look weird on camera, you know, like, make sure it sounds good. Like, she's just not as comfortable with it.
My wife and my son are both introverts until you get them on certain topics, which I'm sure a lot of introverts are probably that way. There's that one or two topics they love to talk about where they'll forget the camera is even there.
And, you know,
my wife talking about her family is one of those topics.
Fair. You know, and I'll say this, like, there are certain things, maybe not relationship wise, but just like life issues or whatever, then I'm a pretty open book, but I don't necessarily just throw stuff out there. If it's relevant to a conversation, I'll bring it up. But, like, yeah, there's just a lot of personal things. And, you know, there's same thing for you. I'm sure there's things you're not just going to, well, yeah, this was one time, or, hey, this is what happened last Thursday or whatever. Like, if it's not relevant, you don't mention it.
There's also, I should mention, this weird thing that people do. Well, I mean, you know about shipping, and people do that with their favorite YouTubers and Twitch streamers also, which still blows my mind.
Yeah, that's a thing. That's a
people will make the whole videos, but hey, look, Pokemon and I don't know, Ninja went on a date or something. It's totally weird, but people do.
Yeah, so for people who don't know, where the shipping we're referring to is not Amazon packages. There's a thing that started, man, over a decade ago now, but the term is relationshipping, which became eventually shipping, when people make up, I guess, fanfic or in their head, certain scenarios where certain characters or personalities end up in relationships. And apparently that's just a very common thing, and it was so common people just started referring to it as shipping, which is a little awkward, but, you know, I guess you're right. People do it because it's enough that they've created a term about it. So I'm not really sure how healthy that is.
I'm going to go ahead and say it's probably pretty unhealthy. But, you
know. Well, here's the thing, though, right? I kind of get it. If you're like, I like this person a lot, I like this person a lot, it'd be really cool if they were a thing. I think they're kind of cute, you know, whatever.
Yeah, right? I should clarify. If you're doing this with fictional characters, you know, like if you want to ship Captain America and Iron Man, I don't care because Captain America and Iron Man don't actually exist. You're welcome to put whatever pair together you want. When you're doing it with actual human beings and then doing YouTube videos about it, then I feel like, okay, it's a little bizarre to me because these are real people. These are not fictional characters. And you're treating them as if they're fictional characters.
Like, here's the thing. Like, even for me, like, and maybe it's different for men and women. I will say that. Like, I'm sure for women, it's probably way creepier and way grosser. Like, but if somebody put me on and, like, I don't know, I don't want to name a woman and just, like, make somebody uncomfortable. Let's say they just picked another woman magic personality or whatever. And it's like, man, I really like these two. It'd be really cool if they were a thing or whatever. I'd be like, that's cool that y'all think about me like that. Okay, awesome. Now, if you start getting mad because, like, I comment positively on some other woman's YouTube or Twitch feed or whatever, like, now that's where it starts to get unhealthy. Like, you've now decided, like, this is the scenario that needs to happen. And because it's not, like, I'm putting that in jeopardy and now you're mad. Like, no matter the odds of the reality of it happening or not, Like, that's when I think you start stepping into unhealthy situations.
Yeah, that's where it's just destined to get weird.
Yeah, and that might be the case.
All the fictional characters you want. When you're shipping actual people, it's pretty easy for there to be problems, especially when these real people have spouses or significant others that probably don't care to see all that.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. You're right. There are other people involved in these relationships or families or whatever that may not be comfortable seeing that or being part of it. I promise you,
if I appear in a YouTube video with another magic streamer, my wife is not going to be happy, which means there'll be one out next week now that I've put that out there in the universe.
Oh, dude, if somebody did that, I would show my wife instantly. She would think it's hilarious.
I'm famous.
Like, I would do it in a heartbeat. Wouldn't even bother me. But
mentioned shipping has become such a prevalent term in internet world. My wife, like a lot of mothers, had kind of already picked out who she would like one of her sons to eventually date. And at one point he told her, "Stop shipping me with so-and-so. It's not going to happen."
Yeah, exactly. Quit making me your fan fiction.
I died laughing, by the way, when he broke that out.
It's just a weird thing, though. And maybe that's what's happening, right? Maybe some number of Pokimane's viewers are just going, okay, cool. I'm going to come and I'm going to donate $20. I'm going to get a tier 3 subscription. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to get her attention or whatever, right? Even though literally she gets tens of thousands of people to come watch her Twitch stream.
I don't even feel like necessarily having a celebrity crush, so to speak, is bad. It's actually pretty normal. It's when you get to thinking you actually have a chance. Like, this celebrity knows who you are is when it's going to get weird.
Well, yeah, because then you start stepping into, like, stalker or serial killer territory. You know? So, yeah, this is just all bad, unhealthy. And honestly, I have no relationship at all, personal level, professional level, with Pokimane at all. Like, I just think it's really unfortunate especially for a woman to be having the level of success she's having, and then the thing somebody's going to attack her for or to try to tear her down is like, well, why don't you talk about your significant other more often on your streams, right? Like, that's such a... Honestly, and here's the other half of it. Even if she doesn't, because she knows that's why people are coming to see her, I don't care anyway. I really don't. Like, I'm a grown man. You're a grown man. You can go make the decision to watch this woman or not.
Yeah, I'll let other people do their own show how they want to do it, really. And live their life how they want. But we talked earlier about how negative stuff often trends more quickly and farther. And apparently this YouTuber's whole brand is he starts troll things. And this one has been a very effective one for him because he's basically gravy training on Pokimane's popularity.
True. You know, the only type of scenario that I think it would bother me is if she was actively trying to, like, flirt with people to get them to give her more money, whatever, blah, and that was part of the whole thing, then, like, maybe I would say there's...
I feel like it's pretty obvious it's part of a show. Because we have, we do that in Murder Mystery. Part of the show is our cutest actress goes out there and kind of flirts with the audience. And because of the show, everybody is supposed to understand that she is playing a character. She doesn't actually like you.
Yeah, I can concede that you're right. You're right. It's part of the program.
It's a comedy show, or in her case, because there absolutely are streamers, that'll make, crazy innuendos with you. And it's like, that doesn't mean they like you any more than if I go see Lisa Lampanelli and she makes the joke she will inevitably make about how much she likes black dudes. I know she's joking. It's part of her act.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, really, this whole thing, I think, just speaks to a bigger societal problem, that, you know, just because, I don't know, that guys are convinced that, like, women are there just to show them attention.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, no, she's on there chatting with people and playing games and doing everything else like everybody else is on Twitch. And making a decent living doing it. Hell, making a damn good living doing
it. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It was just one of those things I read, and it really just bothered me. And I was like, man.
You know, we've created a bizarre internet economy as content creators where other people, you know, can make money off of talking about content creators. The same way, you know, TMZ makes money off of talking about the Kardashians. That's where we are. It's bizarre, but it's because in so many ways, internet celebrities are our new, well, I guess you want to say our new Kardashians, or insert whoever your favorite celebrity family is here.
Yeah. I mean, I can't argue with that. I mean, there are several people that I only know them because they get covered in, you know, online news or whatever for being popular streamers or popular players within certain games or whatever.
As I talked about on my Twitter, I believe yesterday, Jake Paul is going to be on the undercard of the Mike Tyson fight, fighting a retired NBA player, because he's made that his brand, is that he challenges random people to fights now.
Okay. So I knew about the Jake Paul thing because obviously his brother did the other thing or whatever.
Yeah.
And they think they're boxers now. But is by chance the player he's going to fight Brian Scalabrine?
No, it's Nate Robinson.
Oh man, I didn't know Nate Robinson was fighting.
Yeah, I don't think he does. He took this fight because I feel like, and I'm sure he feels like too, I feel like any professional athlete is going to beat the ever-loving crap out of any YouTuber, unless it's like a Muay Thai or a fitness YouTuber, which is not Jake Paul.
Yeah.
I feel like just any athlete is going to be in better shape than the average content creator.
I was just hoping it was Scalabrine, because I think Scalabrine had those videos where people were challenging him because he was like a bench player for a while in the NBA. And he'd go out to like a blacktop and just like school somebody.
I love like, those. People always think, yeah, that guy's not good. I can take it. No, you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
Not even the guy on the bench. The guy that just got cut from even let's say a minor league team. No, you can't take him. You're in your feelings. You can't. I love that show, Pros versus Joes, where they would do things like that.
That's from a while ago. That's like 10 years ago.
Oh, easily. I think it was back when Esquire was still Spike or whatever it's being called now.
Yep. But yeah, let's wrap it up on that note.
Yep.
Why don't you tell everybody how they can find you, Brian?
I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter. Our family channel on YouTube is Alan's Ever After. And hey, if you like looking at house tours, then it's a good time to stop by.
It's about that time.
Nope.
Yeah, and you can always find me online under Power Dragon. That's PowerDragn. You can find me on Twitter and YouTube just about every day, and usually on Twitch Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays, 9 p.m. to midnight Pacific time. Though, I've been starting to stream at noon Pacific time on Wednesdays as well. But we're going to wrap that up. We're going to tell everybody wherever you are listening from, whenever you are listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Wear your mask, stay away from other humans because we're all icky with the COVID right now. And let's just all try to get better. If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us on our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate, other patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at Color of MTG. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.